Theta/beta ratio neurofeedback effects on resting and task-related theta activity in children with ADHD. The recent investigation conducted by Enriquez Geppert and colleagues, 2024, represents a significant step forward in our understanding of how neurofeedback interventions, specifically those targeting the theta/beta ratio, TBR, affect brain dynamics in children diagnosed with attention deficit/hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. TBR neurofeedback refers to a type of operant conditioning-based intervention that trains individuals to voluntarily alter specific components of their brainwave activity, as measured using electroencephalography, EEG. In the case of ADHD, this method typically aims to reduce excess theta activity, commonly associated with daydreaming or drowsiness, while simultaneously increasing beta activity, linked to focused attention and active engagement. ADHD is a neurodevelopmental disorder characterized by symptoms of inattention, impulsivity, and hyperactivity, and these behavioral symptoms have often been correlated with atypical EEG patterns, especially elevated theta and reduced beta power. This study aimed to determine whether TBR neurofeedback can bring about meaningful changes in both spontaneous, resting state brain activity and dynamic brain responses elicited during cognitive tasks. Specifically, the researchers were interested in two forms of theta activity, one occurring during quiet rest, often interpreted as a marker of cortical underarousal or vigilance deficits, and the other manifesting during task engagement, particularly in the midline frontal regions of the scalp, which are known to be involved in executive functions such as attention regulation, error monitoring, and conflict resolution. The investigation was driven by the hypothesis that normalizing these EEG features through neurofeedback might not only modify neural oscillatory activity, but also translate into observable improvements in clinical symptoms such as distractibility and impulsivity. The takeaway. The principal findings of this investigation challenge some of the foundational assumptions of the TBR neurofeedback model. Most notably, the intervention did not yield significant reductions in resting state theta activity in children with ADHD, contrary to theoretical expectations. Resting state EEG refers to the pattern of brain activity recorded when a person is not actively engaged in any cognitive task, usually while sitting quietly with eyes open or closed. This baseline condition is often used to detect intrinsic neural dysregulation. In ADHD, elevated resting theta has been interpreted as an index of cortical hypoactivation, a neurophysiological marker thought to underlie attentional deficits. However, the study found no statistically meaningful differences in resting theta levels following TBR training, calling into question the specificity and effectiveness of this protocol for modulating tonic, trait-like EEG features. In contrast, changes in brain activity were observed during performance of a cognitive task known as the oddball paradigm. This task involves responding to infrequent target stimuli embedded in a stream of frequent standard stimuli, reliably eliciting event-related potentials and oscillatory changes linked to attentional and executive control processes. During this task, alterations in theta activity emerged that differentiated children who exhibited clinical improvement, termed remitters, from those who did not, non-remitters. Importantly, these differences appeared regardless of whether the child had received real or sham neurofeedback, suggesting that the clinical improvements were more closely tied to intrinsic differences in neural adaptability than to the specific treatment condition. These findings highlight a critical issue in the field. Current TBR protocols may lack the specificity needed to target dysfunctional brain networks associated with ADHD selectively. The inability to reduce resting theta while simultaneously observing changes in task-related theta suggests that these two forms of theta activity may originate from different neural generators and serve different cognitive functions. Consequently, future neurofeedback approaches must move toward more refined and individualized protocols that can isolate and modulate the appropriate neurocognitive systems without unintended interference. What's the science? Understanding the neurophysiological underpinnings of ADHD and their relationship to theta activity requires a closer examination of the EEG spectral bands. EEG captures the brain's electrical activity through scalp electrodes, enabling researchers to measure oscillations across various frequency ranges. Theta waves, typically defined as oscillations between 4 and 8 Hz, are particularly relevant in pediatric populations and clinical contexts. These slow-frequency waves are implicated in a wide range of cognitive and affective processes depending on their anatomical source and functional context. In resting state recordings, low theta power is generally indicative of optimal cognitive functioning, reflecting a balanced arousal state and the capacity for attentional engagement. Conversely, children with ADHD often exhibit high resting theta, which is thought to reflect cortical underactivation and may contribute to symptoms such as mind wandering and reduced alertness. This high theta profile is also associated with reduced behavioral inhibition and inefficient allocation of cognitive resources. By contrast, during tasks that require cognitive effort, such as detecting rare target tones in an auditory stream, transient increases in frontal midline theta, FM theta, are typically observed. Frontal midline theta refers to theta oscillations recorded over the medial prefrontal cortex, typically at electrode sites such as FZ and CZ, a region involved in top-down executive control, including error detection, conflict monitoring, and adaptive decision-making. In healthy individuals, the generation of FM theta during task engagement supports these regulatory functions and reflects moment-to-moment cognitive control. The TBR itself is a composite metric derived by dividing the power of theta waves by the power of beta waves, usually 13 to 21 Hz, at specific scalp locations. A high TBR indicates a preponderance of slow wave activity relative to fast wave activity and has been posited as a biomarker for ADHD. However, its validity has recently been called into question. While the US FDA has endorsed the TBR as a supportive diagnostic tool, evidence suggests that only about one-third of children with ADHD display elevated TBR, leading many researchers to reframe it as a prognostic marker, one that may predict treatment responsiveness rather than confirm diagnosis. This nuance is critical. It implies that TBR neurofeedback may be beneficial only for a subset of children whose EEG profile aligns with the intervention's mechanistic target. The core scientific question examined in this study was whether it is possible to downregulate maladaptive resting state theta without compromising the adaptive theta responses that occur during cognitive tasks. This is a non-trivial challenge because both resting and task-related theta activity are typically measured at the same scalp locations, making it difficult to distinguish them using surface-level EEG alone. The inverse problem, referring to the difficulty of determining the exact source of EEG signals due to overlapping brain activity and volume conduction, further complicates attempts to isolate and modulate specific neural generators. As such, the study's outcome has significant implications for how future neurofeedback protocols should be conceptualized and implemented. How did they do it? The study employed a robust experimental design that strengthens the validity of its conclusions. A total of 142 children aged 7 to 10 years, all clinically diagnosed with ADHD and exhibiting a high theta/beta ratio at either FZ or CZ central scalp locations, were enrolled. These children were stratified and randomized into two groups, with a 3-to-2 ratio, where 84 participants were assigned to the experimental neurofeedback group and 58 to a sham control group. Importantly, all participants were asked to discontinue their ADHD medications for 5 days before each assessment to avoid pharmacological confounds, as stimulant medications are known to suppress theta activity and enhance beta, potentially masking or mimicking the effects of neurofeedback. The neurofeedback protocol spanned 14 weeks, comprising 38 treatment sessions. The experimental group received real-time feedback based on their own EEG, specifically designed to reduce theta activity 4 to 8 Hz, while increasing beta activity 13 to 21 Hz. This was accomplished using operant conditioning principles, whereby children received visual or auditory rewards when their brain activity moved in the desired direction. The control group received sham neurofeedback using pre-recorded EEG data from another child, ensuring that any observed changes could not be attributed to non-specific effects such as therapist interaction or reward contingencies. Both groups also received psychoeducation, lifestyle recommendations, and motivational incentives to maintain engagement and reduce dropout rates. Measurements included pre- and post-treatment EEG recordings under both resting and task-related conditions. Resting state EEG was collected with the child's eyes open and closed for 2 minutes each to account for variations in vigilance. Task-related EEG was obtained during an oddball paradigm, where children had to respond to rare target tones, 1,000 Hz, while ignoring frequent standard tones, 500 Hz. This task reliably activates brain networks involved in attention, salience detection, and error processing. Data analysis focused on quantifying changes in global theta and frontal midline theta across different experimental contrasts, including treatment condition, real versus sham, clinical response, remitter versus non-remitter, and cognitive task phase, rest, error, target, and distractor processing. What did they find? The findings from this rigorously designed investigation offer a nuanced perspective on the effects of TBR neurofeedback, particularly regarding its differential impact on resting state versus task-related brain activity. In the resting state analysis, where the brain's baseline electrical activity is observed in the absence of cognitive demands, no statistically significant changes were found in either global theta or frontal midline theta. Global theta refers to the averaged theta power across multiple scalp sites, capturing a general measure of cortical slowing. Frontal midline theta, on the other hand, isolates activity over the midline prefrontal region, often associated with self-regulation and vigilance. The magnitude of these non-significant changes was minimal. For global theta, the mean difference before and after treatment was -0.013 with a standard deviation, SD, of 0.619. For frontal midline theta, the mean change was -0.012 with a standard deviation, SD, of 0.789. These small effect sizes, coupled with non-significant p-values, strongly suggest that the TBR protocol was ineffective in altering baseline theta activity, key theoretical target of the intervention. Furthermore, there were no meaningful differences between children who received real versus sham neurofeedback, nor between clinical remitters and non-remitters. These findings suggest that the anticipated normalization of resting theta, presumed to underlie attentional gains, did not occur as a result of the neurofeedback training. In stark contrast, the error processing analysis yielded significant and theoretically relevant effects. Error processing refers to the brain's ability to detect, monitor, and respond to incorrect actions, a function tightly linked to anterior cingulate cortex activity and typically accompanied by increased FM theta. During the oddball task, children classified as clinical remitters exhibited a notable increase in global theta following the intervention, with a mean change of +0.475. Conversely, non-remitters showed a decrease in global theta, with a mean change of -0.32. Additionally, a significant three-way interaction was detected involving treatment condition, remission status, and frontal midline theta, indicating that the relationship between these variables is complex and context-dependent. These task-related findings suggest that the neural mechanisms underpinning clinical improvement may not rely on tonic reductions in theta, but rather on the brain's dynamic response to cognitive challenges. In other words, it may be less important whether a child has high resting theta, and more important whether their brain can appropriately recruit theta during moments that require performance monitoring and cognitive control. Importantly, these effects were observed regardless of treatment assignment, implying that spontaneous neurodevelopmental changes or placebo-like mechanisms may also contribute to observed gains. Additional findings. Beyond the primary contrasts, several additional exploratory analyses provided deeper insights into how different components of cognitive processing relate to theta dynamics. One such analysis focused on post-error processing the immediate period following an incorrect response. This phase is associated with reactive control processes, such as error correction and behavioral adjustment, and typically elicits increases in frontal theta. However, The study found that post-error global theta showed only minimal mean change, minus 0.066, SD equals 0.880, while frontal midline theta declined slightly, minus 0.328, SD equals 1.033. A statistical trend emerged for a condition times remission interaction in frontal midline theta, suggesting potential modulation in error adaptation among remitters, though it did not reach conventional significance thresholds. Another exploratory avenue examined neural responses during the processing of targets and distractors. These refer to the child's ability to differentiate between task-relevant stimuli, the target tones, and task-irrelevant stimuli, the distractor tones. Remitters demonstrated a substantial reduction in global theta during these phases, suggesting more efficient neural processing and perhaps reduced cortical noise. Non-remitters, by contrast, showed a slight increase in theta, potentially reflecting continued inefficiency in cognitive filtering mechanisms. Interestingly, frontal midline theta increased in remitters during target processing but decreased during distractor processing, an adaptive pattern consistent with selective engagement of executive control systems. Despite these electrophysiological distinctions, behavioral outcomes such as task accuracy and reaction time did not differ significantly between groups or conditions. Accuracy remained high, hovering around 89.03% before and 88.3% after neurofeedback. Reaction times were similarly stable, with pre- and post-training values of 0.486 and 0.468 seconds, respectively. These results suggest that although changes in brain activity occurred in a manner consistent with improved neurocognitive function, they were not paralleled by overt performance improvements within the limited scope of the experimental task. This disconnect between neural and behavioral metrics is not uncommon in neurofeedback research and may reflect a lag between physiological adaptation and its behavioral manifestation, or simply insensitivity of the task metrics to subtle changes in attentional capacity. What's the impact? The broader implications of these findings point to several key directions for the future of neurofeedback research and clinical implementation. Foremost among them is the clear need for refined protocols that can more precisely target the relevant theta band networks implicated in ADHD. As currently implemented, TBR neurofeedback relies on surface EEG signals that are composites of multiple underlying neural generators. This approach lacks the spatial resolution to differentiate between maladaptive resting state theta and adaptive task-related theta, which are often superimposed in the same EEG channels. To address this limitation, the study advocates for more sophisticated and individualized neurofeedback models. Advanced neurofeedback approaches, such as decoded neurofeedback or hybrid EEG functional MRI, fMRI, protocols, hold promise in this regard. Decoded neurofeedback utilizes real-time pattern classification algorithms to identify and reward specific brain states based on multivariate activity patterns, rather than relying on raw EEG amplitude. Hybrid EEG-fMRI approaches integrate the high temporal resolution of EEG with the superior spatial resolution of fMRI, enabling more accurate localization of target networks. The study also emphasizes the importance of better conceptualizing the functional roles of different types of theta activity. Resting theta and frontal midline theta serve distinct purposes and originate from different cortical and subcortical circuits. Failing to account for this heterogeneity may lead to ineffective or even counterproductive interventions. Therefore, a more nuanced understanding of theta activity, one that distinguishes between oscillatory patterns associated with mind wandering and those linked to goal-directed cognition, is critical for designing targeted and effective neuromodulation protocols. Ultimately, the findings underscore the need to move beyond generalized training paradigms and toward personalized, context-sensitive neurofeedback interventions that align more closely with the specific neurocognitive needs of each child. Study limitations. Despite its methodological strengths, including a multi-center, double-blind, randomized controlled trial design, this study faced several important limitations that may have influenced the interpretation and generalizability of its findings. One of the most significant issues was the high exclusion rate due to incomplete data sets. This limitation affected the power of the final analyses, particularly those examining task-related EEG dynamics. A large number of participants were excluded from key comparisons because their EEG data were deemed insufficient for analysis, either due to excessive artifact contamination, e.g., movement, eye blinks, or poor electrode contact, or because the children failed to produce a sufficient number of valid trials during the cognitive task. This is a common challenge in pediatric neurophysiology studies, where maintaining sustained attention and compliance over extended periods can be difficult. The high attrition rate resulted in a significantly smaller sample for secondary analyses, such as error processing evaluation, which ultimately included only 30 participants. This substantially reduced the statistical power to detect true effects and increased the likelihood of both type 1, false positives, and type 2, false negatives, errors. The reduced sample size also limits the reliability of interaction effects, such as the observed condition times remission times theta interactions, because smaller groups are more susceptible to sampling bias and variability. Another key limitation was the imbalance in group composition. Specifically, the analyzed sample contained more non-remitters than remitters. This imbalance introduces a risk of skewed findings, particularly when drawing conclusions about neurophysiological patterns associated with clinical improvement. Because the remitter group was smaller, any between-group differences may reflect idiosyncrasies of a few individuals rather than robust group-level effects. This is especially problematic in studies like this one, which are attempting to parse individual differences in neuroplasticity as predictors of treatment response. Statistical concerns also arose due to the complexity of the analyses and the potential for multiple comparisons. The study conducted numerous EEG contrasts across conditions, rest, task, error, post-error, target, distractor, across brain regions, global, frontal midline, and subgroups, experimental, sham, remitter, non-remitter. Each additional comparison increases the risk of inflating the family-wise error rate unless it is appropriately corrected using methods such as the Bonferroni or false discovery rate control. Although these corrections may have been applied, the small sample size and some contrasts further limits the confidence with which one can interpret marginal or trend-level findings. To address these challenges, the authors proposed several recommendations for future research. First, they suggested conducting standalone studies that focus exclusively on TBR neurofeedback rather than embedding it within multi-arm designs with multiple variables and outcome measures. This could improve experimental clarity and help isolate the specific effects of TBR training. Second, the researchers emphasized the importance of improving data quality during EEG acquisition, especially in pediatric populations. This might involve using more child-friendly EEG caps, shortening session duration, and incorporating more breaks to minimize fatigue and movement. Third, they recommended reducing the number of outcome measures to minimize data loss due to task noncompliance. Finally, they advocated for the use of advanced EEG analysis techniques, such as source estimation or independent component analysis, ICA. These methods enable a more precise disentanglement of overlapping neural sources, which may help distinguish between task-relevant and task-irrelevant theta activity. Source estimation, for instance, can use mathematical models to infer the likely cortical origin of scalp-recorded signals. At the same time, ICA can separate independent brain processes from artifactual signals, e.g., muscle activity, eye movements, potentially enhancing signal fidelity. In summary, while the study makes a valuable contribution to our understanding of the effects of neurofeedback on ADHD-related brain activity, it also highlights the methodological challenges inherent in pediatric EEG research. This highlights the need for more targeted and high-quality data acquisition and analysis strategies in future studies. Only by addressing these limitations can the field move toward the development of more effective, evidence-based neurofeedback interventions for neurodevelopmental disorders, such as ADHD.